Blog Talk Radio.
Don Allen, and in Studio B, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you?
Fine on this Sunday evening, Mr. Allen, and that was an exquisite introduction there. The beloved James Brown, talking about until we get ours, if you will. Obviously,
yes.
Black America once again being denied in its search for justice. I understand we have a very powerful, hard-hitting representative of the ministry out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Let's get into it. By the way, tonight is a special program looking at and examining the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman trial in Sanford, Florida. A verdict of not guilty. I got to tell you, Mr. Allen, I'm just not surprised. I'm saddened, but once again, the clock of time, if you will, equality, and all those kinds of things have been rolled back another 50 years. There just seems to be no consideration or opportunity for Black America. But let's introduce our guests,
yeah.
And the phone lines will be open at the conclusion of the Reverend Pinckney's presentation. Thank you.
Reverend Pinckney, welcome to
hey,
this program.
It's a pleasure and an honor. I tell you, you guys you're right on point. And, you know, you couldn't ask for anything better. And we have to get the word out, and we got to get the word out to our people, you know, and that's really the amazing thing. The day my phone been jumping off the hook, and the only problem is it's been white folks calling me, not black people.
Isn't that something? Reverend Pinckney, my associate, Mr. Allen, tells me that you go have a strategy that's being discussed.
I most certainly do. I have decided that what we're going to do, we're going to call for an international boycott of all Florida products. I have been on the phone all day today and half of last night getting folks moving on the level that now, see, this is something black folks can do. You see, when you don't ask black folks to do a whole lot of stuff. What you do, you just ask them nothing where they don't have to leave the house and do stuff like that. Then they'll be more willing to get out there and do it. So here's
okay.
What we're going to do. We plan on boycotting all Florida products. Anything that got the Florida label on it, we plan not to buy it. We're going to start off, I don't want to give them too much at one time. We'll start off with the orange juice and the oranges. And Disney World, we don't go to Disney World too much.
Okay.
But if one or two of us is going there, maybe they'll stop going. So this is my plan. To get the word out there to people, show people that we're able to do things, and really just the thought, the word boycott that be circulating in Florida will be enough to really harm what they're doing right now.
All right. Reverend Pinckney, let me make a suggestion to you over the air, though, because the conservative right, of course, controls the court systems and et cetera. I was involved in probably one of the most successful campaigns way back in the 1970s against our own General Mills here in Minnesota. Be careful and consult with your legal representatives. You may want to use the term selective buying campaign as opposed to boycott, because the corporation will go after you and your assets as it pertains to a boycott. Just a legal observation, because we had to do that back in 1973 when we initiated an action here against General Mills as an outgrowth, actually, of attention that was brought by the NAACP at that time, but they would not take up the boycott, or in this case, the selective buying campaign. I, at that time, was the head of the Urban League Board here in Minneapolis, and we took it up and took it to the floor of the National Urban League Delegate Assembly and force them to support us. They really did not not want to. But give some consideration, my brother, to
and
a selected buying campaign.
You're really absolutely correct, because we had set up a boycott of all Whirlpool products,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to challenge me, and I wouldn't back down. You see, they told me that they wanted to take me to court. Because, the key word when you use the word boycott,
mm-hmm.
it does so much. And they had threatened to do this to me, and we'll do this and we'll do that. I told them to bring it on. And that intimidated them so much, because there was no fear in my heart, because they figure most black people, when white folks say stuff, we get all scared and nervous and do this. The thing is this. This thing is too serious for us to back down. So many times we back down on everything. Everybody kick us to the curb. Everybody disrespects. And here we are fighting for our life. It's going to get worse. We talk about all the shooting and killing that's in Chicago. Them kids, they don't have no respect for us, because they say we don't do nothing.
That's right. That's right. Give us your thoughts, Reverend Pinckney, as it pertains to the decision out of Sanford, Florida. And what have you been hearing from the segment of individuals that you've been talking to for the last, let's say, almost 24 hours?
Well, here's what I told everybody a week ago. I told them that the prosecutor is taking a dive. I said he's partnershipping with the defense so that Zimmerman would not have to go to jail. The best thing that these guys did was their closing argument. They failed the Martin family and the black community. The evidence was good enough without them doing nothing for him to be convicted on manslaughter charges.
Absolutely.
They did nothing, exactly nothing,
because
he killed this boy. He had another choice. He could have shot him in the leg. He could have shot him anywhere but directly in the heart or chest.
But he had no business. See, I as a part of a prima facie, he had no business following him and engaging him in the first place. He had
you are
no business
absolutely
following
correct.
Trayvon
and
Martin.
For me, that
he
makes
been
him
told
the
by a legal authority, we don't need you to do that. He was bent on doing just what he did, and that was to take that young man's life.
Oh, absolutely. And the sad part about it is, you know, it's open season. You know, our black children, they're in trouble. They're in trouble not only with the white community. You can't go to a white community now, because they are, if they kill you, they're going to get away with it. They're going to walk away.
Particularly in the state of Florida and other states that have castle laws. You're
absolutely
correct. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we have to remember one thing. When this trial started, there was a few people down there. We all supported the Martin family. But there was a few people. I know when I was on trial here, every single day we have folks inside the courtroom, in the hallway, outside. We have people marching. We have everything in order. We talking about every day. We had 700, 800, 900 people there. Because where we want to make sure that the decision that they make going to be the right one.
Right. Okay.
And that's how you deal with these folks, because they don't care nothing about us, because they said we ain't going to do nothing no way. You see, they was going around talking about it's going to be an uprising, it's going to be... Man, black people run fast, but they don't run long.
Yeah.
And that's the message that they know and I know.
Yeah.
I'm really sick of these folks. They walk around here and they'll kill me and you like it ain't nothing, these black people, and nobody will say nothing. It's time that we make these folks put up a shut up and get out here and do some stuff.
All right. Talk to us a little bit more about I will continue to refer to it as the selecting buying campaign being directed against the state of Florida. You mentioned an international flavor.
So
talk to us a little bit about that, the international
flavor. We want to make sure that people across the country, all across the country, do not buy anything with the Florida label on it. I don't care what it is. I don't want you going to Disneyland. I don't want you buying a soda pop from there with the Florida label on, because I know people got to still eat, though. You know, there's certain things that you're going to have to eat, but as long as it's not directly from, it could be imported from another place, we good for it. But the point is, I don't want nobody buying nothing. And look, we don't even have to do it for a long time. We do it long enough, they'll stop feeling the heat and start doing the things that need to be done. You always hit white folks in the pocket. That's
yeah.
the only way you can neutralize them. And
absolutely.
Then, but here's the bad part. The NAACP is having their convention in Orlando right now as we speak.
That's what I was wondering about. No wonder jealous was put up and propped up, if you will. So that explains it, because I'd asked my colleague, Mr. Allen, about a week ago that it was NAACP and then Urban League time. So it's in Orlando, Florida, where the NAACP is meeting, and yet they were not able to direct any of their delegates to go up the highway to Sanford, Florida, and stand in support of those who were there, about 200, outside the public safety building. Isn't that interesting, Mr. Allen? Think about that.
Yeah,
thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
Thank you. See, I got
to
give you the information, because there's nothing more important than sharing information, because a lot of times we don't do that. That's why we all messed up now.
Absolutely. Because when they interviewed Jealous the other night, not a single white commentator or Negro commentator had pointed out that the NAACP is having their annual confab in Orlando, Florida, which is just down the road from Seminole County and Sanford, Florida. Isn't that interesting?
I tell you, it's been
wow.
something. They told this young lady who wanted to go. She was at that time. She was the president. They had made plans where they're going to stop busing people to the trial. He gave them an order, a direct order, that you are not to go there for any reason. And they're about 60 miles from
yes,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
But that's the way it is. Anytime the NAACP has their hands in anything, you can almost bet it's not for us.
Right. Now, let me ask you this question, sir, because my associate and I, my associate is a conservative, I'm a liberal, we're back and forth. What do you see the Obama administration and the Justice Department doing? I'm listening to all this rhetoric about that they're going to decide to reopen an investigation and they may file a civil rights action and et cetera. Do you find any validity in those public relations comments?
If it's up to Obama, the answer would be no.
Okay.
But let me, I spoke to John Conyers this morning. And
good man up in Detroit. Yeah.
Right, and here's what he told me this. I brought up the issue that, look, we didn't get them in the state. Let's get them in the federal.
Mm-hmm.
I said, in the federal, there's no way that he's not going to be convicted, even with these white folks up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed. He said, we should have handled it also in the federal court, like we should have. He said, the murder was a state thing. I said, yeah, but the federal court overrides the state court, because
mm-hmm.
when you put that civil rights issue on there, it automatically goes into the federal bin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, well, you're absolutely right. He said, I didn't understand that. I said, they're not going to do nothing in the state area. So if we could get, I don't believe Obama's going to do nothing. He's not going to do anything that's going to help black folks.
Okay. Now, let me go back to something else that you said, as one who has tried cases pro se during my civil rights activities. You are absolutely correct, and I confirm that the prosecution, the state of Florida's prosecutors, actually laid down. They put on a very but intentional poor performance, all right? Let me say this to our listening audience across the country and around the world. I knew just how much of a sellout had been made when the state let Don West, who is one of the most racist dogs in the white free world. This man is an animal, okay? Don West. But when they let West attack Rachel Gentile in the manner that he did, and they did not raise the proper objections, they did not attempt to rehabilitate her. She rehabilitated her own self in the 12 or 13 hours between her first day appearance and her second day. And she is one of the most courageous black Americans or any other kind of American that I've had the pleasure of watching, because she understood, though, what she was in for. But you are absolutely correct, Reverend, that the prosecution And if you look at the and this prosecution team, by the way, came from Duval County, which is Jacksonville, that has one of the worst records out of the state's attorney's office, in the prosecution of African Americans. Okay, Duval County is legendary, Mr. Allen, in overcharging young African Americans and sending them to be incarcerated. And when the Republican governor, Rick Scott, gave her that responsibility under pressure from the African-American community to appoint a special prosecutor, he knew just what he was doing. He went out and got one of the worst and most racist offices within the state attorney system in the state of Florida to prosecute the case, and they clearly indicated what their mindset was. Reverend Pinckney is absolutely on point. They laid down for the count. They threw the fight.
Yeah, and remember this, too. They had so many time to object on so many issues, and then I knew to object. I said, I object to that, pleading the witness, doing this. I guess the judge looking at me, I'm at home watching it on TV, and she's beeping me, I guess. She said, what's going on here?
Yeah.
This guy, man, I'm telling you this. And here, they bring in the dummy. He gets on the dummy, and he's knowing that the man can, he gonna like straddle the dummy so this guy can get his gun out. That guy couldn't get his gun out if you got him down on the ground. They threw that. The defense and the prosecutor were working together against Trayvon Martin's family and the black community.
That's absolutely correct. By the way, how they're gonna get paid off is that late this afternoon, Mark O'Meara, who tries to be a black Johnny Cochran, he is clearly nothing approaching the late Johnny Cochran. But they've announced that they are going to sue CBS for defamation. Now, that's the way the deal was cut by Du Bois' daddy. By the way, Reverend Pinckney, Mr. Allen, do you know, and Reverend Pinckney, you watched the trial as I did, but do you know what kind of work George Zimmerman's father does?
He was a judge.
That's right, federal magistrate.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
he was a judge.
And that's one of the reasons why they didn't charge him in the first place.
That's
and then again, he
daddy.
Killed a black boy. You
that's
killed
right.
a black little boy, kept him laying out there, didn't try to help him. And like I told them before it started, I figured, I don't care how racist these white women is, they had to convict him on manslaughter, if nothing else. Because the manslaughter charge is one of the most simplest charges to convict somebody on. I can have a fight with somebody and kill them, and, you know, it's just a fight. If I kill them, it's manslaughter.
Absolutely. Mm. And that's clearly what they did. Reverend Pinckney, anything else you want to share with us?
I just want
to
tell all my
campaign.
Black brothers and sisters and everybody out here, we have to get off our butt and start doing things. We have to start showing these people that we are capable of working together, organized. The key word is organized, organized, organized. It's no big I's and little U. It's all of us. We're all in this together, and we have to fight together. We have to show these people what we're capable of doing. If they don't, we all going to be behind barbed wire fences or either in the ground dead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. Allen, anything? You have anything?
No, I just appreciate Reverend Pinckney calling in, and we'll get an update here this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
All right, and thank you.
Thank you.
And don't forget,
boycott.
All right now.
All right now.
Mr. Edwards, we have a caller that's been on hold for quite a long time.
I'm sorry, and we apologize. Yes, let's get the caller on. Go ahead.
Okay, caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, and thank you for this special edition.
Thank you, sir. Your observation.
Well, with respect to all the research and everything that you guys have already done, I'm not going to be redundant, you know, in my opinion. Also, too, I'm not one who jumps on social media bandwagons. But I can say that once again, Black America is in reactionary mode once again, because from February 26th, when we lost Trayvon Martin last year, all of the hoodie marches and demonstrations, those that have consisted of making a ring around George Zimmerman and discussing the federal court and everything, so that there would have been no way that he could have escaped. Now we're reacting again and looking at the back door saying, well, can we come back and do this? Is Obama going to do this? Hell no. Did he do anything for Chris Dorner or anybody else when he was about to reveal all that information? All that information about these corrupt police and such? And so with respect to the knowledge of both of you journalists, you know, I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time, but I will say the quote by Syreeta Wright that you guys have up on your blog.
Yes, sir.
To me, that speaks volumes to everything, because my own observation is that Trayvon Martin was on trial.
Wasn't that sad? The victim was on trial, and when they got through with him, they made him the criminal.
He was the criminal. I mean, that's me. I mean, that's my two cents. I shined up those two pennies, and I just thought that I would throw them in, and then I want to sit back and listen to this special edition of this show and just, again, thank you guys for giving us this opportunity on a Sunday night like this.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank you for calling. Hey, Mr. Edwards, only in America can a black dead boy go on trial for his own murder.
Yes, only in America.
Only in America.
And that's what happened. The phone lines are open. This is a special edition of this program looking at the tragedy surrounding, quote-unquote, the death of Trayvon Martin. And America's newest hero, George Zimmerman, is America's newest hero. As far as I'm concerned, he ranks right up there with Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and all the riders of the Knights of the White Chameleon, if you will. It is so tragic, Mr. Mm-hmm. Allen, that what you just said is so much on point, is that this young man shot to death by a man who was armed and knew what he intended to do, and when they got through in this process, history will show that it will not validate it, but history will show that this young man was put on trial for his own death, made into a criminal, if you will, and then had his murderer acquitted. And these white folks are talking to us about quote-unquote justice. But go ahead. Telephone number, please. Call lines are open.
Telephone number is 347-426-3904. And before we take that caller that's on hold, just called in, Mr. Edwards, from a story today posted on ourblacknews.com, an open letter to Brother Barack Obama, there has been a response from the White House for immediate release, statement by the president. It reads, the death of Trayvon Martin was a tragedy, not just for his family or for any one community, but for America. I know that this case has elicited strong passions, and in the wake of the verdict, I know that the passions may be running even higher, but we are a nation of laws, and the jury has spoken. I now ask every American to respect the call for the calm and reflect the two parents who lost their young son. And as we do, we should ask ourselves if we're doing all we can do to widen the circle of compassion and understanding in our own communities. We should ask ourselves if we're doing all we can do to stem the tide of gun violence that claims 2 million lives across this country on a daily basis. We should ask ourselves as individuals, as a society, how can we prevent future tragedies like this? As a citizen, that's a job for all of us. That's the way to honor Trayvon Martin. The White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 2500.
Let me say two things. Mr. Allen is a longtime civil rights, both activist, historian, and et cetera. There are two specific parties and institutions that I'm quite sure the president needs to send that to. Number one, he needs to send it to the Insurance Association of America, because obviously this let there be peace in our time. He sounds like Neville Chamberlain, the disgraced prime minister of Britain in 1937.
Yes.
Because the only thing that these folks are concerned about is that black folk don't get out of control and damage white folks' property, okay?
Yes.
And start after paying millions of dollars in claims and et cetera. Secondly, on regards to gun violence, he's speaking to the wrong audience. He should be speaking to the Congress of the United States, because the last time I looked, when the discussion and debate began a couple months ago about gun control and et cetera, it was the Congress of the United States said it's all right for every white man and white person in this country to be armed to the teeth. So I don't know who he's sending it to. Let's get that caller, Mr. Allen.
Okay, and here goes caller, you're live on the air. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Yes, you're live on the air.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. What can we do for you? What's your question?
I got a comment, actually. You know, I think that what white folks need to realize is it's not that we racist and disrespectful towards white folks. It's just that now, as fathers, and as a father myself, I only have one boy, we're trying to tell our young sons what their self-worth is now that after last night's verdict. Last night's verdict set us back. We had the Supreme Court already gut the civil rights move. And so now you have the jury saying that if you're white and you have a license, you can kill unarmed black men that are walking in the neighborhood that you deem dangerous. That's a set of bad precedent. And I don't think that we can point the finger at the president as much as we have to point the finger at the Florida justice system or the so-called Florida justice system. We need to get more blacks in power, not just at the city manager position, but more blacks in the justice system that can represent us. And until we get that, we will continue to have travesties that happen, such as yet last night's verdict.
Sir, that is extremely deep and profound, and so much on point. You're absolutely correct, if you will. And, of course, we understand the president is limited. I think it's part of the feeling of us as black, particularly those of us who are of the older black generation, because there was so much hope that things would, in fact, change with his election in 2008. But your point is absolutely well taken. It is deep philosophically and otherwise, because a message has been delivered to us. I mean, you have to – well, I'm not preaching to anybody, but just talking to our listening audience. We've had two significant historical events. Last night, the verdict in Sanford, Florida, and 2 weeks ago, the United States Supreme Court saying Negroes really don't have any rights to vote. Okay? And the gutting of the Civil Rights Act. And I've been troubled as a 74-year-old African-American by how passive we've been. I mean, these folks, the Supreme Court took away the right of the African-American to exercise the one thing that we've had for at least some years, and that is at least the right to try to go to the polls and vote. They took that away from us. They stripped us of it. And your point about positions and increasing political clout and et cetera in Florida is well taken. The only problem is I don't know that our vote is going to be allowed at the polls. I really don't.
But here's the thing. We cannot get disenfranchised. And again, I'm like you. I don't mean – I know I'm probably preaching to the choir. But we can't get disenfranchised. My wife and I last night shed a lot of tears thinking about it. And I felt, as a gun owner myself, like going out, getting my homeboy together, arming up. But I think
okay.
that – you know what I mean? It makes
oh,
you
no,
feel
I,
like
I,
that.
I hear you. Because I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
Which means, by the way, let me just say this, which means – that here are two black men who are somewhat rare who are talking to each other, and neither one of us obviously have felonies. Oops.
That's
we
right.
We were able to stay
exactly
just
right.
in front of the criminal justice system. And is that correct, my colleague, Mr. Allen? And I
yes.
hope that people, you know, there was a little levity in my voice, I mean, because of the tears and the pain. But you see, this is a rarity, two black men talking to each other, and both of them have the right to bear arms. All right.
Yes.
But the only reason it was we stayed just a half a step away from the criminal justice system. At some point when we were young teenagers, we didn't allow the system to grab us and put us into the system and make us ineligible
exactly.
to be able to respect and carry out our full constitutional franchise.
And can I say that it takes
yes, sir.
Men like Mr. Allen that also gives breathes life into our communities. No matter what political party you belong to, it still takes men like him. I'm reading his Facebook pages, and this brother is staying vigilant. You know, and that's what we have to do. We have the struggle doesn't end with last night's verdict. We have
oh my
to
God,
continue.
Yes, you're correct. You're
we
correct.
Have to continue. We have to link arms to continue. We know that a more black men die at the hands of one another than they do. White Mexicans, but nevertheless, it happens, and it kind of bothers me, bewilders me, if you will, when you hear white folks say, well, we have a black president, we've come a long way. Well, we haven't come long enough. We haven't gone long enough where you cannot be overtly racist anymore. It's not legal to be overtly racist anymore, but it's still hidden, but we have to stay vigilant. If we don't, I mean, I'm only 35, you know, and my boy is only 11 years old.
Okay.
But as I tell my son when I seen him, because he was in Iowa last night, and when I seen him today, I hugged him and told him how much I loved him and how much his life was worth.
Yes,
if
sir.
If we continue
God
to do that as fathers, we will never let people like Zimmerman manipulate our community. That's our version of stand your ground.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. All right. Mr. Allen, nice compliment page to you, sir, with respect to what you've been putting on our Facebook.
Yes.
Mr. Allen is our expert. Very profound observation. Again, that phone number. This is a special edition. Sunday night, examining, quote-unquote, another message sent to America and specifically Black America, that there are no rights that we have that white folks are honor-bound, duty-bound, or legally bound to respect.
Okay, and that number is 347-426-3904. And caller, you are live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Oh.
Okay,
hey,
Michael, what do we got for you there? You sound like the guy's been calling me for the last couple of years. You're out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, what's your question, Michael?
I'd like to talk about the little baby boy.
The baby boy. Oh, you're talking about our broadcast of yesterday. Yeah. What's your question?
Has the funds been raised by who?
Has the funds been raised? We are told, it was stated on this program yesterday that the funds have been raised. The funeral will take place in Chicago, Illinois, at 2:00 Central Standard Daylight Time tomorrow. And it appears that everything that is required as it pertains to making sure that this 9-year-old baby who was found lynched and hung here in the city of Minneapolis back on the 27th of June will be laid to rest. We cannot speak to the investigation. I'm not at liberty, by the way, to speak to the investigation, but the investigation is not receiving the kind of pressure that you would have thought. But unfortunately, you know, maybe at some point, we will ultimately find out who hung this black child by the neck until dead, 9 years old. By the way, for America and for the world, his name it needs to certainly be remembered, if you will. Michael Sullivan was this 9-year-old black child's name who was hung in a backyard in North Minneapolis on the 27th day of June, lynched, if you will, and there has been there's been no one apprehended, and there's really been nothing from the Minneapolis Police Department, the mayor, or anybody else. We hope that answers your question, sir.
Well, can we talk about the Beautiful Fund? Who set it up?
The Beautiful Fund, Mr. Allen, my associate, has really been on top of that. There seems to be some real question now about that fund. It was opened by a private individual.
You know the name,
and there
sir?
Seems to be some tie-in with at least one member of the family, the individual who opened the account, and the monies that were put into the account. Okay?
That's very important there, because Mr. Edwards was saying, I actually talked to a representative of Wells Fargo, because I was under the impression that Wells Fargo took it upon themselves to open an account, and that was not the case. The account was opened by, like what Mr. Evers said, a private person. So we don't know who that is.
Gotcha.
But there is a tie-in between a member of the family and the account and the person that opened the account. And these individuals have known each other for over 20 years. Oops.
What, was it a preacher?
I'm not at this point. Let me do it like this. Let me do it like the white folks do. I can't comment. So I'm not rejecting your question. I'm just not going to comment. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Interesting question.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Black out of Chattanooga. We know that. We recognize that voice. I think he's got some relatives up here in the Twin Cities. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah. You know, there's a really important point that I was chatting with some people just a minute ago. In the very beginning, George Zimmerman, think about that name. But in the very beginning, when his name came out and his picture came out and they did not have his ethnicity, they thought that this was a white man. Okay? The mainstream media put it out as a white man. It was a white guy. So with that said, if this was George Gonzalez, Jesus Rodriguez,
or George Lopez,
killing
George, Trayvon. George Roach, if you will. I mean, that's an actual Spanish name. Go ahead. I see your point coming. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Yeah. If this was, you know, a traditional, just Spanish, recognizable Spanish surname, this would have never made the national attention that it made, because you have Hispanics killing blacks in California, Florida, every day.
Yeah.
Especially the Cubans and the American blacks killing each other. I have an aunt who lives in Miami, Florida, who says that it's not unlikely to walk down the street and see a couple bodies, you know, black men and Hispanic and of Cuban origin and of Mexican origin or South American origin.
Absolutely. And one of the things that was pointed out to us by a caller from the other side of the United States, from the West Coast, is that a lot of these police departments, and you saw it really at the trial, now have a significant number of Mexicans, quote unquote, and Latinos working as police officers, and you'd be surprised at how many of them were in their own country, such as El Salvador or Nicaragua, the places that they were with their security forces there. They had to get out. They come here, and they're employed in the police department, and they are professional killers already. And to what your aunt's observation was is an observation made to me by my aunt, who lives on the other side of Florida, who lives in the Sarasota-Bradenton area, and talks in terms of the number of mysterious deaths that take place in that particular area, from Tampa down to Fort Myers, and it is quite clear that they are being killed by, quote-unquote, the Latino individuals who basically are not legal. See, that's the other thing. You know, let me give you an example, and the phone number is out there. One of the people that testified at George Zimmerman's trial and talked in terms that he had heard the voice one day while sitting at his computer and he knew it was Georgie, is an uncle who is a deputy sheriff in Orange County, which is the county right adjacent to Seminole County, and is also the county where George Zimmerman's mama, who is a white Peruvian, is the county clerk, okay? But the problem was this uncle, who maintained that he had been in the United States military working special operations in South America for 26 years, still had no good command of English.
Mm,
okay? But he was a deputy sheriff in Orange County, which is a county just adjacent to Seminole County. And so those observations are very interesting, and as the last couple of callers have said, the discussion is already going on about the ability to do what we call free kills, and that is just to get out and just shoot black folks and go on about your business, okay?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Yeah, that's what's been delivered. But the phone lines are wide open. We have
a caller.
Oh, let's get the caller. Caller, you're on. What can we do for you? What's your question?
Hey, I'm just in the queue.
Okay. The caller was just in the queue. Okay.
Well, leave me in the queue. Okay.
Let me go back to one other thing very quickly. I find it interesting that there's been no discussion. Reverend Pinckley joined me in confirming it. I've been amazed for the last year that there's been no discussion about the fact that George Zimmerman's daddy, who is a Caucasian, if you will, very hateful-looking man, is a federal magistrate. He is a federal magistrate. I found it fascinating both when George's, both his mother and his father got on the stand. The one thing that neither the prosecutor or the defense did, and they did it to everybody else, what kind of work, how are you employed, what do you do, what did you do, et cetera, they never asked his mother, George Zimmerman's mother, or George Zimmerman's father. That's how George Zimmerman beat the assault on the policeman. See, George Zimmerman should have never been allowed to have been carrying a gun nor had a permit because he had assaulted a Florida police officer. And he was about to be charged when his daddy stepped up to the plate and said, "Don't charge my boy." Okay?
Yeah.
No one talks about that. You know, all these Anderson Cooper and all the rest of these white folks and white journalists and some of our blacks also don't even discuss who was George Zimmerman's mommy and daddy. Think about it.
That's incredible. That's incredible. That
yeah.
is incredible.
Who was his mommy and daddy? Okay? No one ever talks about them. I watched his father via TV as he sat in that courtroom. I mean, he was looking at that jury like you understand what it is. And by the way, you pointed out, Mr. Allen, you did excellent research on it. Two of the white women on the jury have permits to carry guns and have expressed animus towards African Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And expressed that. One of the reasons they got their guns, they said, to protect themselves from the black monkeys and animals. I'm telling you, man. Justice in America. Give that number out again, Mr. Allen.
Our number here to call in, the phone lines are open, is 347-426-3904. That's 347-426-3904. I don't see, you know, I haven't heard a peep, Mr. Edwards, from the National Urban League. Mark
They're
Morial.
Getting ready for their conference next week.
It just seems like, and Al Sharpton earlier today, as reported by Breitbart, compared Jesus' crucifixion with Trayvon Martin's death, which I find pretty interesting. I'm going to post a link of that on the website so people can actually watch that and decide for itself. But I don't know, just this whole thing, especially here in our hometown, I'm watching people organize to have a rally tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Hennepin County Government Center. And for our
when there's nobody downtown. Downtown Minneapolis here on Mondays and Tuesdays is absolutely dead. There's nobody left. If you're going to have a rally, have it at noon.
Have it at noon in the corner of 7th and Hennepin in the middle of the street.
That
would cause problems.
That's right. Shut down traffic. Though I'm not opposed to having it at the government center. Let the white folks who are coming out, the judges and others coming out, let them see you out there in your quest for justice. You know, I mean, but whatever you do, hold it at noon when there's some white folks around. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Let me also do this, Mr. Allen. I found it fascinating that there was and Judge Nelson, and actually her actual birth name is Steinberg, which is kind of interesting. Steinberger, SS. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, I found it fascinating that the prosecution and the defense and Reverend Pinckney again out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, was really on point. Didn't you find it interesting that there was no evidence introduced that talked in terms that George Zimmerman had lied to the court, had his original bail revoked, and had made plans to flee the United States? Come on now. For all those of y'all listening, y'all know that's what happened, okay? The white media stayed totally away from that in the 10 months leading up to when they determined last June of 2012, his bail was revoked. See, he wasn't supposed to get a second bail, but his father interceded. The federal magistrate interceded. And yet there was never any discussion. This man had made plans to flee the United States of America, and his actual original plans were to flee to his mother's native country, and that was Peru. Only problem is the Peruvian government, when they found out about it, said, well, you know, we really don't know if we want to go in that direction, okay? By the way, let me now break this piece of information. You know how George was uncovered, and you know who one of the people was that processed the electronic intercept of his conversations as he prepared at that time to flee the United States? Mr. Allen? Was Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden, who is now seeking asylum in Russia, was one of the death operatives, if you will, who the calls involving George Zimmerman happened to come across his desk. And my understanding is that he is negotiating now to sell that information to the German magazine, which will be quite a bombshell unless the United States can block it. We repeat again what we say here. The intercepts by NSA of telephone calls by George Zimmerman making arrangements to flee the United States of America to Peru was intercepted and was reviewed by what is called a desk officer by the name of Edward Snowden.
Yes, you heard that here first. And 2 weeks before the verdict, before even the trial even started, Mr. Edwards, you called it on this program. You called it.
Yes, I did.
70-30, Zimmerman walks. And
he will not be convicted.
Yeah.
He will not be convicted.
And we were attacked up and down that how we weren't being black. We was, you know, on a different side. See, what these people don't understand, Mr. Edwards, this was a trial and a murder played out by the mainstream media.
Yes,
who controlled every inch of information that they wanted to get out. They made George Zimmerman white, as white as they made President Obama. Okay?
Yes.
And there was no chance that this Hispanic and Caucasian mixed race man was going to go down for killing a black child. It just wasn't going to happen. And they
no
made sure they stayed
up. No shape, form, or fashion, as older black folks used to say years ago, no shape, form, or fashion was George Zimmerman going to, quote unquote, as you just said, Mr. Allen, be convicted and bring shame to imperial white America. It just was not going to happen. And I'm telling you, man, they had to fix in. Reverend Pinkney and others have talked about it on this program and within the last 40 minutes. The prosecutor was in on it. I repeat again the history of the Duval County of Prosecutor's Office, in which this case was assigned to by Governor Scott, a Republican. These folks had this thing together. And the deal they're cutting now is for them to sue CBS. There will be a settlement of $5 or $6 million, so that George has some walking around money and pocket money, because they know that they're going to have to get him out of the country. They already have a location in Europe ready and prepared for him. But I repeat again for those out there, the intercepts of the telephone calls that he and his daddy, his father, who is a federal magistrate, were making, sir, to allow him to flee this country because of the pressure being put on by a coalition of organizations comprised of blacks and whites and Hispanic, there were Hispanics out there, Asians and et cetera, had them spooked, okay? And they were making preparations. Who do you think informed the authorities that George Zimmerman was making preparations? He didn't have a second passport. He was given a second passport.
Yes.
He was given a second passport after he surrendered his first passport. They put together a second passport for him. But Edward Snowden intercepted the electronic transmissions. And what happened, the judge the judge that made the ruling, he actually was removed from the case because initially they thought he was going to be the trial judge. But that phone number, any calls, we've got about 11 minutes. This is a special edition looking at the circumstances and the events surrounding the exoneration and the acquittal of George Zimmerman, an American hero,
and,
Mr. Alvin, who was about to flee the United States of America in June of last year. We got a call?
And no, we don't, but I'd like to tell you on the whistleblowing site, the whistleblower who reported prosecution concealment evidence in the Zimmerman case is fired. State Attorney Angela Corey fired her Office of Information Technology Director Friday after he testified last month about being concerned prosecutors did not turn over information to George Zimmerman's defense team about the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. And they fired this information officer, Ben Carubos. Is his name, an IT worker for the state attorney. Ben Carubos. An IT worker.
And so that our friends understand that, is that there is to be a hearing conducted by Judge Nelson in which they are supposed to be sanctioned, but there are a number of sanctions now, including a witness who testified that he knew George. In fact, he's the one that bought George from the warehouse. He's the one that bought George a couple suits so George would have some nice suits to look nice. He was supposed to be sequestered, and they wound up with these photographs and videos from the first 3 days of trial. Here this big white boy was sitting back up in there. He was never supposed to be allowed to testify at trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the prosecution knew it and went ahead and did not do it. What they did not do anything about it. What they did was, after he testified and after somebody else revealed it, who found out that the gentleman that you just named in Ms. Corey's office was now getting ready to be sanctioned, the prosecution jumped up and indicated that they wanted to be heard on striking the testimony. Judge Nelson declined to do anything during the course of the trial. A disciplinary hearing is to be heard, if you will. Don West, the neo-Nazi second chair attorney. His daughter provided information the day before Rachel Gentile took the stand. She prepared and had information relevant to how Ms. Gentile would be examined and destroyed by her daddy and his lead counsel, Mark O'Meara, the white Johnny Cochran of the legal community of Florida.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
This thing is Reverend Pinckney and others callers we've had, and we're very appreciative of them taking the time to call in. This thing is so foul about what happened. Now, there's enough prima facie, as the folks like to say, there's enough prima facie here for Eric Holder to indicate that his Department of Justice intends to file a civil rights lawsuit, a civil rights complaint against George Zimmerman and any others who are part of the complicity. But, Mr. Allen, I just don't think it's going to happen, my brother.
Yeah. You know, Obama tried to tell him to stand down. You know, there's
He's talked about peace and tranquility in America and the rule of law, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happens with that rule of law when it comes to such things as employment and economic opportunity, et cetera, that is denied black people. Well, talk about the rule of law when that happens, when those statistics continuously come out that indicate that black folk are becoming more chronically unemployed and poor, if you will. Do you know that we picked up another almost 2 million African-Americans have gone into poverty since our beloved president became president?
Yeah, and they don't realize that. They're worshiping him like a celebrity. He's a public servant. Come on now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the right wing in me coming out. But still, again, you know, there are no opportunities, Mr. Edwards. People are living from paycheck to paycheck, and they're trying to, you know, there's more month than there is money. And it's rough for people. People that had it pretty good, you know, the last, you know, maybe 8 years ago are now seriously suffering. But still, we don't have any voice from Washington, D.C., which trickles down because our state representatives, our congressmen here, especially in the 5th Congressional District, could give a damn. I mean, they're off Abu Dhabi and
Saudi Arabia,
and you know,
smoking stuff in the big air conditioned tents in Saudi Arabia. I mean, if you don't ask for nothing, you don't get nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you don't ask for nothing, you don't get nothing. Let us also mention this for our listening audience across the country and around the world. The amount of money, by the way, the deals, book deals and et cetera, that have been cut for Mr. O'Meara, for West, and for George Zimmerman's brother, his mama, his daddy got to play it kind of close to the vest, but he'll have somebody ghostwrite. Do you, Mr. Allen, well, you probably wouldn't because you're an activist, but the amount of money that these people are going to make off the death of this 17-year-old unarmed African-American is going to be staggering, you know.
Yes.
And I would suggest that people may want to peek in on the Wall Street Journal over the next couple of months because periodically they report, you know, book deals and et cetera as part of their business section and et cetera. I got to tell you, the kind of money that the right is going to make off the death of this child is unbelievable, okay?
Mm.
And no one is really reaching out, I mean, to the extent of making sure that the Martin family is able to be safe. You know, everybody thought it was funny this morning when it was announced that the Martin family was also in protective custody. You know, I watched a lot of white commentators and some Negroes on the air this morning pretending that was a joke. The Martin family is, in fact, under protective custody.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, they need to. You know, what's these crazy folks out here will do?
Absolutely. I'll give the number one more time in case there's somebody out there that didn't hear it, may want to call in again. I want to send a shout out to my homies up there in Priest River and Priest Lake up there outside of Sandpoint, Idaho. Them boys told me, they said, Sambo, said, you better understand, we're winning this day. And, you know, that's why I had to say 3 weeks ago, and I was afraid it was 70-30 that this white man was going to be acquitted. And he is. And so I just got to say, I mean, I said that I would have to do it to Billy Bob's, the All-American boys up there along Priest River at those at those training sites just north of Sandpoint, Idaho, out there. Hey, you won this one, Billy Bob. Okay, but we ain't through yet. That's right.
No,
that's right.
No, no. We have a call. We have a caller.
Oh, let's get it.
Caller, you're live on the air. Who am I speaking with?
Greetings, gentlemen. This is Wesley Smith. I had called you guys earlier, and I didn't want to expound because I just felt that there would be a lot of people calling in regards to this matter. But after sitting and listening, I need to tell you that you guys are exactly on point, as the show says. I was listening to Mr. Edwards as he talked about behind the scenes deals, the book deals, and that sort of thing that's about to exist. All these things I'm just taking notes of, you know, what I will probably put into social media, because these are things that I've not heard in social media. What I'm hearing is the reactionary, the Jesus freaks. I'm hearing the, you know, the people praying, and, you know, I'm hearing,
right.
I'm hearing all this reactionary stuff. But the one thing is, it's something that Mr. Edwards alluded to earlier, you know, with another, 2 million of us being, you know, poverty.
Poverty, falling into poverty, correct.
Mm. Yeah. We've been neutralized. That's the reason why they can get away with this, is because we've been neutralized, because we are reactionary people. Nobody is being proactive in regards to any of these matters. I mean, they had a whole year to be proactive in regards to, as I mentioned before, circling the wagons around George Zimmerman so that there would be no escape for him.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you know, these meaningless protests, you know, I mean, the hoodies and, you know, all of these meaningless protests, you know, is doing nothing. And right now they're talking about, don't go in Florida and buy this, don't go do that. But what did you do all year? Did you go to Florida? I mean, what did you do in regards to helping circle the wagons so that this man could not escape? And so being that we are reactionary and these people know it now, I think that they're taking advantage of it. And so I'm just going to just throw a question out there. Is it time to march, or is it time to take a stand? I just want to just throw that out there.
I think it's time to take a stand. I'll be very upfront with you, sir. Not only is it time to take a stand, and it was no accident, my comments to the previous caller as it pertains to two black men that were talking, a third man in the studio, who are lucky enough not to be convicted felons so that we are able to be armed.
Mm-hmm.
I say this to black America, you better start arming yourself, okay? You better start getting your weapons together, buying your ammunition. You better start stockpiling, because that's what Billy Bob is doing, and that's what the decision in Florida has conveyed to us. As I said at the top of the program, sir, President Obama talking about, you know, gun violence and et cetera, he needs to be talking to the Congress of the United States, who rejected legislation to deal with the Second Amendment, okay? So he's talking to the wrong people. What we better do, we better start getting ourselves ready.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mr. Edwards, because I just left Chicago last night. People are hurting.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. I just left Chicago last night, and I went over into a couple of communities where kids have been killed and such.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are hurting.
Yes,
they are, sir. I went
because
Mr. Edwards had mentioned that they were supposed to have been having a funeral for the little kid that got killed here, the one who got hung.
It was supposed to initially be Saturday. It's at 2:00 tomorrow at a Pentecostal church right there on Halstead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I left yesterday. I left last night just after learning the decision. But they're hurting, and Obama is being cursed. And I mean, these people are hurting. They're hurting. And even in his community, there's been a lot of crimes committed, a lot of kids killed, and that sort of thing.
Yes, sir.
And for him to display such cowardice as opposed to courageousness, I mean, you know, even in the movies, the white presidents show courage and such. You know, they at least front like they have it. But
even the most recent movie, my man Jimmy Fox acted out like we thought President Barack Obama in the real illustration was going to do. And that's in the movie White House Down.
I'll be following it, brother.
Yes, sir.
We're actually less than a minute left here.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Okay. Mr. Allen, excellent program. A special. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to pull our resources together and come with this 1 hour special, Mr. Allen.
Yes.
So take us home.
All right.
like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the fridge, you know they just don't care. I can't take this down, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no time.